Thank you for joining me coast to coast on the radio and all the way around the world on the podcast. Here we are at the start of a fresh week of broadcasting and podcasting, and I hope you look forward with enthusiasm to what we will discover about God through his son Jesus. As the Lord faces off against the devil in the wilderness, our biblical text being Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 through 11. When we left off on Friday, we had finished a thorough discussion of the first verse, verse 1 of Matthew 4. And what I want to do today is to use verse 2 as a way to speak with you about how to answer two distinct but important questions. I'll ask two questions and answer them beginning in verse 2. Here's the first question, and perhaps this is one you considered last week. How is it possible that Jesus Christ was tempted? If you're taking notes, get this one down. How is it possible that Jesus Christ was tempted? If you know anything at all accurate about Jesus, you know that he was God in human flesh. Jesus is God, and God cannot be tempted by evil. James chapter 1 and verse 13 again, God cannot be tempted by evil. I've mentioned James 1:13 before, and I quote from this verse again today. Do put it to memory. So, as God, it was impossible for Jesus to sin. But if it was impossible for Jesus to sin, then how can we say he was truly tempted to sin? And if it was not even possible for Jesus to sin, then how can Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 be true? Let me remind you what Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, even though you may be very familiar with it. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. The one is Jesus, and Hebrews says Jesus was tempted in all things as we are. That sounds like as we face temptations in the exact same way, so did Jesus. Well, Hebrews is true, and so how can two things be true at the same time? That is, how is it possible for Jesus as God to not be able to sin and yet to be tempted as we are? Let me answer that this way, and this is as simple a statement as I can make, borrowed from the theologians. Jesus was able to be tempted, but was unable to sin. Let me say that again and give you note takers a chance to get this. I hope all of you will understand this about Jesus, even if you are unable or unwilling to jot it down. Jesus was able to be tempted, but was unable to sin. First, Jesus is God, and as God, it was impossible for him to sin. Second, Jesus is man, and as man, he was clearly able to be tempted. Matthew 4 makes this abundantly clear to the reader. But just because Jesus was able to be tempted, does that mean that Jesus was able to sin? No, Jesus was not able to sin. If Jesus was able to sin, then God was able to sin. And God is not able to sin. Furthermore, if Jesus was once able to sin, then he is still able to sin today, because Jesus, as God, is forever living in the same essence he had, as God, in human form. Stick with me here now, because I know this gets a little heavy on the mind. Just a few more minutes, because this is crucial to note. Although Jesus is human, he was not born with a sinful nature as we are. It is in our nature to sin. It was not in Christ's nature to sin. So what this means is that Jesus was able to be tempted, but was unable to sin. This is very different from us. We are all both able to be tempted, and we are all able to sin. We do sin, not Jesus. And you must know that at this point, we require a long and detailed excursion into theology to really grasp this. But I am not, at present, going to take you on such an excursion, as worthwhile as that may be. Now, I understand this may bother you. Wait, you think, if Jesus was not able to sin, then that kind of diminishes the temptations. But let me reassure you, these temptations that Jesus was given by the devil are real, They are all very real. The nature of the temptations does not change because Jesus was unable to sin. In fact, because Jesus is God, when he comes face to face with the evil devil in the wilderness, the temptations for Jesus become far worse than the temptations that Satan has for us. We are already evil in nature, so we face temptation able to do that which tempts us. But Jesus is not evil in nature. So he was not able to do that which tempts him, but still he must deal with it. This is where the divinity and humanity of Jesus cross. And our Lord battled them the same way you and I have to battle all the temptations Satan sends our way. And we will talk about how to do this, learning from none other than Jesus. As in all ways, Jesus serves here as our perfect model and our perfect example to follow. In verse 2 of Matthew 4, we meet a very human Jesus. Matthew 4, verse 2 reads, "And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus then became hungry." This is the description of a man pinned down with all the weaknesses of the flesh. This is the perfect time for the devil to strike. And you can count on this. I'll say more about Jesus in this condition and how Christ responds in the days that follow this one. So please, stay tuned. Well, that certainly gives you something to wrap your mind around on a Monday. And you might just want to hear that again. If so, this is why the God Is podcast exists. Stay with me until the end today and you'll find out how to get it, download it, and listen again if you don't quite understand me this first time through, and or if you have a question. And you can always write to me as well, or alternatively, take this up with your spiritual leader, your Bible study group, and your friends in Christ. Just ask them, could Jesus have sinned? And then answer that from the Bible. I said I had two questions, and here's the second question. Is there something written in verse 2 and from there in the verses that follow that would have spoken direct meaning into the life of the Jewish reader of Matthew's gospel? Remember, Matthew's primary audience when this was first written was the Jewish people. And the answer to this question is yes. Listen again to Matthew 4, verse 2. "And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus then became hungry." That 40 days and 40 nights would stand out right away to any Jew who knew their history and their scriptures. Last week, I brought up Moses and Elijah in this regard, and today I'll tell you, or remind you, that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness 40 years. As the Jews were tested by God in the wilderness for 40 years, so was Jesus tested by God in the wilderness after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Do you hear the comparison? As Gentiles, we usually need this pointed out to us. Our Jewish friends do not. But that verse, verse 2, is really just the beginning. Jewish people also would clearly relate well to the way Jesus answers Satan with the scripture. We're going to get ahead of ourselves a little bit, just a little bit right now, but consider this a good introduction to what's coming, okay? One real key to understanding all of Matthew 4, 1 through 11, is to see how Jesus uses quotations from Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 8 when he resists the devil. And Deuteronomy is the fifth book of our Old Testament. I'm not going to take time to go back to these three chapters and read them, but you can. Deuteronomy chapters 6 through chapter 8. When you do, you'll learn that these three chapters cover a speech Moses gave to the Israelites before they entered the land of Canaan after their 40 years in the wilderness. And the lessons they should have learned there as God tested them are the exact lessons Jesus practices in his own 40-day testing by God in the wilderness of Matthew 4. We'll get to this, but again as an overview, in the first temptation, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 to the devil. "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So when a Jew hears or reads Jesus saying this, he or she remembers this lesson taught by God all the way back on the verge of entering the promised land of Canaan. In the second temptation, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16 to the devil. On the other hand, it is written, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." So when a Jew hears or reads Jesus saying this, he or she remembers this lesson taught by God all the way back on the verge of entering Canaan. And again, in the third temptation, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13 to the devil, "You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So when a Jew hears or reads Jesus saying this, he or she remembers this lesson taught by God all the way back on the verge of entering Canaan. So yes, there are many lessons reiterated by Jesus to the devil that the Israelites ought to have already known. Matthew 4, 1-11 makes this clear. This answers our second question for today. This gets us going on another week together. I hope you will return for the following 4 days. What I'm going to do tomorrow is talk with you about the nature of all temptation. This will again take on the form of an overview before we plunge down into the details of verses 3 through 10 of chapter 4. But what we're covering in these days together is essential. So far, we have verses 1 and 2 learned, and up next will be the remainder of this great passage. When we read and study the Bible together, we have to understand the whole Word of God fits together perfectly. Who Jesus is as God in human form, the God-man, here in Matthew 4, relates to what we know about God from the full counsel of the Word of God. What Jesus is doing and where he is doing it, the wilderness, here in Matthew 4, very much relates back to the Old Testament. It is my responsibility and joy to teach you the connections, to help you see how all of the pieces fit together into such a magnificent puzzle. I pray this will be beneficial to you, and I hope to speak to you again tomorrow as we continue to learn who God is through Jesus in this fourth chapter of Matthew's Gospel.